It's said that we learn from mistakes, not success. But do you want to experience that with your retirement savings? Hi, I'm Rob West. There's no question that saving and investing for retirement is something you want to get right the first time. Mark Biller joins us today to help you avoid some of the most common retirement planning mistakes. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Mark Biller is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. He and his team are devoted to helping you apply biblical principles to your investing so you can get retirement right the first time. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
All right, Mark, we said that when it comes to retirement, we don't want to have to learn from our mistakes. So can we learn from other people's mistakes? I guess that's the question.
Oh, definitely. And really, that should be the goal for all of us. Avoid making the mistakes and learn from other people. So 2 years ago, investment firm Natixis surveyed 2,700 financial professionals across the globe. And they were asking about the most prevalent mistakes that they've observed regarding retirement planning. So this was basically the greatest hits of errors and oversights that financial planners see over and over. And we took that survey and detailed several of those specific mistakes in an article that we titled Avoiding the Most Common Retirement Planning Mistakes. Your listeners can check that out at soundmindinvesting.org.
Yeah, and you certainly want to do that. We're going to dive into these in just a moment. But let me mention, Mark's here for this first portion of the broadcast, and we'll be taking your questions specifically on retirement planning and investing. And so if you have questions related to our subject today or the broader topic of investing, at least during this first portion, give us a call at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. All right, Mark, let's dive in and run through some of these. What was at the top of the list for retirement mistakes?
Well, somewhat surprising to me, the most common retirement planning mistake was underestimating the impact of inflation. And that surprised me just because if you think back over the last, say, 30 years, up until about the last 3 years or so, that was really a pretty low inflation environment. But in spite of that, underestimating inflation was still a big problem for people in their retirement planning. I think that's because just the same way that people don't fully appreciate the power of positive compounding in the long-term growth of their portfolio, they also don't understand the destructive impact of inflation compounding. And when you look at that, even with a relatively tame rate of inflation, the compound effect over many years destroys a lot of purchasing power. One example that would help is if inflation grows at just 3% a year, a lifestyle that costs $75,000 a year to support today will require $135,000 20 years from now. So that's just an enormous difference in terms of how much income a retirement portfolio needs to produce.
Yeah, that is really helpful. And we've had, of course, a pretty stark lesson recently in how destructive inflation can be over the last few years. All right, what's next on the list?
So the next one was investing too conservatively, and this one ties directly to that inflation-related point we're just talking about. So to meet the challenge that's posed by inflation, retirees need to keep their portfolios growing so that the portfolio at least matches that rate of inflation. While fixed income instruments like CDs, savings accounts, bonds, the things that tend to be really popular with retirees, they definitely have a place within somebody's overall financial picture, but those types of investments aren't likely to outpace inflation. And that's why investing too conservatively can actually be pretty risky. It's also why, Rob, you and I are always talking about on these programs together that retirees need to be careful about scaling down their stock exposure too quickly.
Yeah, that longtime rule of thumb, use 100 minus your age to figure out your equity portion. You know, I know recently folks have moved that to 110 minus your age just because people are living longer. But regardless, you need to keep some stock exposure there. That's great advice. Mark Biller with us today. We're talking about retirement mistakes. Back with your questions after this. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our culture has a humility problem, but really self-centeredness isn't unique to Western culture. It's a human problem, a culture problem for the world. And social media and the cacophony of influencers coming with it haven't helped. To a world that's saying constantly, me, 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 the Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." So while others are exalting themselves as followers of Jesus, we know there is a better way. Just as Jesus humbled himself and was exalted, so we may humble ourselves, that we may also be exalted in heaven with our Lord and in his presence. See Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they apply biblical principles to your investing. You can learn more about our topic today, avoiding common mistakes for retirement planning, when you visit their website, soundmindinvesting.org. That's soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for our featured article right there, free to you, for you to access right now. It's called Avoiding the Most Common Retirement Planning Mistakes. These were drawn from a survey done recently of 2,700, not investors, 2,700 financial professionals who observed the most prevalent mistakes regarding retirement planning as they counseled their clients. And you can read about these again, soundmindinvesting.org. We're going to head to the phones here in just a moment. We'll taking your questions specifically on investing-related topics and retirement planning for this portion of the broadcast while Mark is with us at 800-525-7000. Mark, you mentioned first mistake, investing too conservatively, which is interesting. Also, underestimating the impact of inflation, which, as you pointed out, was somewhat surprising just because inflation has reared its head in the last couple of years. But for the 3 decades before that, it's been pretty tame. And yet it can erode purchasing power and really hurt us in this retirement season. Let's dive into the next one. What's up after this?
Overestimating investment income. So on the one hand, people tend to underestimate how much income they're going to need due to inflation. And then on the other hand, they tend to overestimate how much investment income they're actually going to be able to get from their investments. So a good rule of thumb that we like to use is that as you try to put together a realistic retirement plan, you want to be optimistic about how long you're likely to live, but you want to try to be conservative about your projected returns. And directly related to that, if we're withdrawing too much money too soon from your retirement accounts, that can create big problems later, especially if you are or your spouse is fortunate enough to live to a ripe old age. So the general rule of thumb that you hear in the financial planning community has always been that withdrawing no more than 4% annually from your portfolio is likely going to keep your account from being depleted too soon. But that 4% rule, you just need to understand that that's a rough rule of thumb. It's not always optimal for every person in every case. And your own personal safe withdrawal rate is going to depend on a number of different factors, which are going to include any other sources of income you have, the size of your portfolio, the sequence in which your investing returns occur. So if you have a big drawdown right after you retire, you're probably going to have to make some adjustments there. There are a lot of details that can influence that 4% per year starting rule of thumb.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And the next mistake, Mark, tells us why it's important not to overestimate retirement income. Take us into that.
Yeah, this one shocks a lot of people, Rob, and it's underestimating your lifespan. The reason that it's shocking to a lot of people is we all have heard over and over and over again statistics like the average life expectancy in the U.S. is 76 years. So that kind of gets fixed in our head as like that's the goalpost, 76 years. But we noted in a recent article that if you're a man in good health and you make it to age 65, you have greater than a 60% probability of living to age 85. And a 65-year-old woman in good health has better than a 50-50 chance of living into her 90s. So that's very different than that 76-year overall population average. What that means to us as retirement planners is most people have got to plan on at least 2 decades of retirement if they make it to age 65 in good health. Now, there's no way to know exactly how those years are going to play out in terms of what the investment performance is going to be like or what the rate of inflation is going to be like. But if we fail to plan for an appropriately long, and like we said, we're talking at least 20 years, an appropriately long retirement, then we're not considering the full range of possibilities, and that's asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark, which allows us, even at age 70, to still take a long-term perspective when it comes to our investing, which can help us get comfortable with the fact that we still need an allocation to stocks, even in that season of life. But this is really good stuff. Let's begin to take some questions here today. We'll work these in as we go. Questions for Mark Biller on investing or retirement planning at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Brad. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I was calling because my wife and I have a lot of different investments, and we're looking to add gold as an investment. And I see a lot of companies out there, and I'm not sure which one is a good one. I'm a member of Costco, and I see they also are selling the gold American Eagle coin. Is that a good investment?
Yeah, interesting. I've been reading some stories about Costco. They're also selling 1 ounce gold bars, and apparently they're even having trouble keeping them in stock just because people are buying them up. But Mark, your thoughts on where someone should go to buy physical gold?
Yeah, I love the Costco option if you can find it. They, like you said, Rob, a lot of times they actually sell out. I think I read recently that Costco sold more gold than the U.S. Mint last year. So they've wow. they've gotten into this in a big, big way. But Brad, the reason that I like Costco is because when you're buying physical gold, you really can reduce it to a very simple formula. As long as you're buying from a trustworthy source where you actually can trust that you're getting gold and not something counterfeit. But the simple formula is just what is the gold price and what is the premium over that spot gold price that you're paying. And so the gold price is readily available. You can get it every day online at a number of different websites. And the reason I like Costco is because, as with so many things that they sell, they charge a very low premium. There's a very low markup over the spot price of gold. So I think that's a great choice. If you want to buy physical gold, you want to try to minimize that premium that you're paying. And that's really where you can kind of quickly eliminate a lot of the things that you see advertised. If you go and you actually look, what am I paying per ounce for this gold, you'll see that the variance is wide. There's some places charge big markups, other places small markups, and you want to avoid paying a big premium for really what is a commodity. An ounce of gold here is an ounce of gold there, so why overpay for it? Costco is a great choice.
Yeah, very good. We appreciate that call, Brad. I know you can actually buy those online. You do have to be a member of Costco, and they will limit you. I believe it's to 5 units, but you know, at the current price of gold, 5 ounces, Mark, is going to run you, what, you know, $12,000, right?
Yeah,
something
exactly.
like that.
Right.
So really interesting. Well, Brad, we appreciate you being on the program. We know we've got just about all the lines full. We'll be taking more of your calls just around the corner. Mark Biller with us today. We're talking about some of the most common retirement planning mistakes from the perspective of financial advisors. In fact, more than 2,500 of them that were surveyed recently. We've got a few more of those. Again, your questions as well just around the corner at 800-525-7000. To read this article, go to soundmindinvesting.org, and we'll be right back.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers and Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
So glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking retirement planning mistakes today so you can avoid them. We're also taking your questions today on investing and retirement planning related topics while Mark Biller is here today. Mark is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Again, you can read the article we're talking about today from Sound Mind Investing at their website, soundmindinvesting.org. Let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Ohio. David, thank you for your call, sir. Go ahead. Hi, David. Go ahead, sir.
I got some.
David, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Hello? Yeah, I have some dogs. Am I speaking?
We had you there for a moment and lost you. Let's try one more time and see if we can get a clear signal. Go ahead. All right, we'll put you on hold and see if our team can work with you to get you back with us. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Guy. How can we help you?
Good morning.
Rookie. Yes, I had a hypothetical question. Let's say someone has done well in their investing, and they've got $1 million portfolio, and say they've earned like a 10% return in most of those years. And then let's say the stock market takes a downturn of 30%. So the person loses $300,000 overnight. How long does it take to make that money back, let's say, at a 7% return?
Yeah, Mark, you got your invested calculator handy, buddy?
I don't, but just, you know, off the top of my head, if you start with 700, you make 7% a year. You know, I think the easiest way to think of that is in percentages. And what you're driving at, Guy, is we often at SMI have referred to the cruel math of investing, which is simply that when you lose money as an investor, you need a larger percentage gain to make back than the percent that you lost. And there are easy ways to illustrate that. You know, if you lose 20%, so you go from $1 million to 800, you need a 25% gain to get back even to $1 million. So with your example, Guy, I'm going to say, what are we looking at? It's going to take you probably, 5 years to get that back? And that's probably not atypical from a big bear market. You can check my math on that, Rob. But, you know, when you have a big bear market, usually, thankfully, it doesn't happen overnight, but over a span of a year or two, a 30% drawdown isn't that uncommon. And it usually does take, you know, at least a couple years, a few years, to earn that back. Now, usually coming out of a bear market, unless a person drastically changes their asset allocation to something more conservative or puts a lot of that money in cash during the bear market because they kind of get scared out of the market, usually the rebound out of a bear market tends to happen a little quicker than that. Now, of course, you can't generalize that too much, but a lot of times you have a sharp downturn, you tend to have a sharp rebound. And that's why investment planners and professionals usually will tell you, you don't want to make big adjustments to your asset allocation in the middle of a big drawdown, a big bear market, because you'll miss that eventual rebound. But Guy, hopefully that helps you. Did you have a follow-up on that, or just wondering about that math problem?
I guess the follow-up would be is, say they made it back up in 5 years and then we had another downturn, so we lose again. But I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that is why, you know, you want to not just be thinking about, as an investor, what's the biggest number that I can get to. You want to always attach those numbers in your investing, your portfolio, your retirement planning to what do I need? What are my goals? What's my time frame to retirement? What are my budgetary spending needs in retirement so that I'm not taking on more risk than I need to and putting myself at risk of these market drawdowns? Because there is one sure thing as an investor, you are going to have both bull markets and bear markets. Bear markets are just part of the deal. So you don't want to overexpose yourself to risk if you've gotten your portfolio to a point where you can comfortably meet your spending needs. Then, you know, we frequently talk on these programs about things like financial finish lines and, you know, making sure that you don't cross your financial finish line twice, once going forward and then a second time going backward in a bear market. So, you know, a lot to think about there, Guy, but that's why we take this holistic retirement planning approach of what do I actually need? Because the goal isn't to just get the biggest number out there. It's to meet actual specific, you know, family spending needs that you have. Rob, your thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's very well said, Mark, and you nailed that number. You're just shy of $1 million at 7% over 5 years when you're starting is $700,000. But I think to his point, Guy, you know, we don't want to make a mistake and get too aggressive trying to make up for what we lost. And as Mark said, the goal is to begin to transfer as we get close to that retirement season from a goal of capital appreciation to capital preservation. We still maintain a stock allocation to our earlier point about people living longer, and that's the way we offset inflation. But remember, over the last 50 years, the last 100 years, whatever time period you look at, as long as it's more than a couple of decades, you know, the data says you will do well over time if you're properly diversified, you're a steady plotter, you have the appropriate mix of investments for your age and risk tolerance. You know, this is the very best place to build wealth in a stock and bond portfolio apart from real estate and being a business owner. And so, you know, this is the way to go. And as we maintain that long-term perspective, it allows us to, you know, stay focused on our ultimate objective and weather those storms that will come. But just be patient. Don't try to pick your entry and exit points. Hey, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. A quick break. David, coming your way after the break. We know we've got several other lines holding. We'll be taking your questions right around the corner with Mark Biller. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org. Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Mark Biller with me today. We're talking about common retirement planning mistakes. What are those top mistakes that 2,700 financial advisors said most people make? Well, let me give you four of them just to recap. Number one, underestimating the impact of inflation. Number two, investing too conservatively. Thirdly, overestimating investment income. And fourth, underestimating your lifespan. We'll give you number five here in just a moment. Let's head back to the phones. David in Ohio, I think we have you now. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I had to close the app on my phone. I have some stocks in my portfolio that are real dogs. I've lost money on them. I don't expect them to come back. Some of them are EV stocks. Would I be wise just to take the loss, sell those off, and look for something with better growth?
Mark, your thoughts?
Investors is to sell investments that haven't turned out the way that they want. And a lot of people will make the mistake of looking at their cost basis. What did I pay for it? And if they're down in that investment, it's a real emotional, psychological hurdle to sell at a loss. People naturally want to wait for it to at least get back to even. And in a lot of cases, that either doesn't happen or it takes a really long time. So I think the best rule of thumb that I can give you on this is if you were objectively making a decision today of whether to buy that stock, would you buy it today? If you wouldn't buy it today, then that's a pretty strong indication that it's probably time to go ahead and sell it and move that money into something that you would buy today that you think has a better chance of going up from this moment going forward. And that's a really difficult thing for people sometimes to face because it naturally kind of means, well, I made a mistake on that one. But, you know, when you get down to it, even the very best investors, the people you know, the Warren Buffetts and all the other famous names, you know, if they're right on about 55 to 60% of their investment decisions, that's pretty good for this industry. And that means being wrong a lot. So the quicker we can kind of come to terms with, I'm going to be wrong sometimes on my investment decisions, and frankly, that's okay. That's just part of it. And quickly recognize those mistakes and cut them out of our portfolio, the better we're going to do over the long term. We like to say at SMI, we want to We want to sell our losers quickly and hold our winners. And most people tend to do the opposite. They chip away when something starts to do well and sell to lock in those gains, and they hold those losers forever. And really, that's counterintuitively maybe, but that's the exact opposite of what you want to do. So I would say sell the dogs, move it to something that you feel like has a better chance from today moving forward, and I think your performance will improve. Rob, any other thoughts?
No, I think you're spot on. I remember my dad, as an old dividend stock picker, he would say something similar to you and your team, Mark. He would say, cut your losses and let your profits run. And
absolutely,
I think that's this idea here. You know, there's also some tax benefits to that. If this is in a taxable account, you could lock in that loss, which could offset future gains, and then move that money to something else. And so that can be beneficial to you as well. David, any follow-up thoughts on that?
No, that gives me some clarity. I think I'm going to take an objective look at these. And, yeah, they are in a taxable account. So I will tally that up. And I think, you know, some of these electric vehicle stocks that I have, they're never going to come back, I don't think. So I think that's great advice, and I think I'm going to follow it.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate your patience. Mark, there's one more common retirement planning mistake that we haven't covered yet. What is that last one?
Well, it's forgetting to account for health care costs. You know, in the U.S., Medicare covers a lot of our health expenses once we turn 65, but it doesn't cover everything. Typically, it's going to cover routine medical costs, short-term hospital stays. But then covering other expenses with insurance is going to require us purchasing either a Medigap supplemental plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. Even with those, a person's going to face some out-of-pocket expenses for copays and other things that those plans just don't cover, like dental care. And, of course, we also need to touch within this area the biggest health-related wild card in retirement planning, which is the cost of extended care. You know, long-term care insurance has gotten so prohibitively expensive for a lot of people, but there are some more affordable short-term care policies that could be an option. One of the things we mentioned in the article, Rob, is we love health savings accounts, and if a person is eligible for a health savings account, we strongly recommend trying to build up an HSA balance while you're working to help cover some of these later life health costs.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, to kind of put a bow on this one, even if you don't have an HSA account, one of the best ways to prepare yourself for later life health costs is to take good care of yourself today. That's where all the familiar advice about diet, exercise, sleep, managing stress, all those other controllable factors can really pay off down the line.
Well, money was personal enough, and now you're getting into our diet and our exercise there, Mark.
I know.
It's a great point, though. You know, living a healthy lifestyle today is really another form of investing that will pay big dividends down the road. Mark, circling back to long-term care insurance, I mean, are you to the point with your team there at SMI where you're saying for the average person it's just gotten out of reach, or is it still something worth looking into?
You know, I think it's worth looking into, Rob, but unfortunately, most of the time for that average person, I do think they'll probably find that it is getting out of reach. Now, we've written before at SMI about some newer policies that focus more on like short-term stays, and they would cover like a 180-day to maybe 3 year stay in a nursing home, and those maybe a little more affordable. A lot of people think, well, but that wouldn't really cover me if I, you know, had something big, and that's true. But when you look at the statistics, a lot of the stays in nursing homes and care facilities do tend to be shorter term, following surgeries, those sorts of things. So it's an option that a lot of people don't know exists, and it is, you know, newer in this ballpark because those long term cover everything for as long as you need. Those policies have just gotten so expensive for people.
Yeah, you know, I
look at it. You know,
yeah.
I still look at it, but don't if you have to rule that out, you know, there are other options.
Well, to your point about a short-term stay policy, I saw a study recently, it was from 2023, it said the average length of stay in long-term care is just over 3 years. Only yep. about 20% of residents require care for 5 years or longer. So perhaps that's another way to go, which could right-size it for your budget. Mark, tie a bow on this. We're going to have to let you go here, but just being well-planned is key, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to get a big payoff from putting the time in to try to get a good retirement plan in place and to keep up with that. It's not a one-time thing that you do. Retirement planning is something really ideally you go back to and keep updating as you go.
He's Mark Biller. The article is called The Most Common Retirement Planning Mistakes. You'll find it right now, soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, great to have you with us. We'll be right back.
Hi. This is Randy Alcorn. Many years ago when I was a pastor, God placed the message of financial faithfulness on my heart. Money has the power to either be a valuable tool for God's purposes or a temptation to pull us away from Him. FaithFi is diligently proclaiming this message every day to the world, and that's why I'm asking you to support their mission. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift to faithfi.com today.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Always great to have Mark Biller along with us. Let's turn the corner, though, and take your questions on anything financial. We'll head out to Maryland. Robert, thank you for your patience, sir. Go ahead. Hi, Robert,
yes,
are you with us?
Yeah. I am, yeah.
Very good. Go ahead.
I'm considering a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Are they good or bad? One of the pitfalls, some of them.
Yeah, it's a great question, Robert. And, you know, the reverse mortgages of today, what are called home equity conversion mortgages, are much different than the reverse mortgages of the past, which were problematic in some cases. So I like this as a tool in your toolbox. Does that mean it's right for everybody? No. If you have a conviction to get out of debt and stay out of debt, entering in this season of life, and you have the income sources and can rely on other assets, great. But if you find yourself either needing access to funds periodically for certain things, home renovations or repairs or other big ticket items, or you just don't have the income to maintain the lifestyle that you would like to, and you're sitting on, among other assets, a lot of home equity, this is a way to boost your retirement income, or at the very least, eliminate an existing mortgage. You remember, 50% of retirees about 5 years ago were heading into retirement debt-free. Now it's only about a third. And so a lot of retirees still have mortgages they're paying on. Well, paying it off with a reverse mortgage can, at the very least, just eliminate that largest expense in your budget, which could be the key to helping you balance it, even if you don't have the additional equity paid out as a monthly income stream over the balance of your life. You know, the benefits are you can have the income stream. There is no risk of the payout or the mortgage balance growing to greater than the home value, because if that ever happened, the FHA would step in and make up the difference. Thirdly, you know, when you pass away or move, whichever comes first, you know, either your heirs would have to sell it and pay off the mortgage and then they keep the balance, or refinance it if they wanted to hang on to the property. So you just have to recognize, you know, that's in play. You know, what are the downsides? Well, I guess the only really downside is that you would have a balance that's growing equal to the interest rate that's attached to it, because you're typically not paying anything on it because you don't have to, and the fees that are added to it every year. But, you know, there, other than that, you know, I think it can be a very effective tool to kind of smooth out and allow you to enjoy these retirement years if you are short the amount of income you need to balance the budget. But give me any follow-up questions you have on that.
Well, you pretty much answered them. Some of the questions that I was going to ask, but the yearly fee, generally, how much is that yearly for, I guess, a maintenance fee or whatever?
Yeah, you know, the fees for reverse mortgages, I mean, typically it's the, you know, the upfront premium is 2% for that federal backing from FHA. And so, you know, that's right up front. And then, you know, you have some a mortgage insurance premium of about 0.5% and some other, you know, fees along the way. So you'd want to just kind of read the fine print and understand what that is. But mainly it's the, you know, closing costs and the FHA insurance charges, you know, which is an origination fee. And that would be just added to the balance that you have there. And then it's pretty modest from that point forward.
Is there a company or some entity that you would recommend?
Yeah, here's what I can do, Robert, is have you, we'll put you on hold and I'll get some information to you from somebody that can just educate you on this. And, you know, if you decided it was something you wanted, would give you an option of a trusted solution that is biblically oriented. Okay.
Well, yes, that would be great. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. I'd like to have some extra income. Not terribly in debt, but it would be nice to have some additional cash to live more easily, if you will.
Yeah, very good.
And I guess one last question. What
sure.
happens I think you hit the nail on the head. When both of you die, then the heirs can pick up the mortgage one way or another if they so wish, or otherwise just let it go, right?
That's right. So what would happen is reverse mortgage would need to be paid. It's not assumable. And so either they would, you know, typically the heirs don't want to keep the home just because they have their own house and, you know, they'd rather redeploy that money in another way. So they would sell it. The proceeds would then be used to pay the reverse mortgage balance, and whatever's left would be distributed according to your will or your trust, whatever it is. Beyond that, if they did want to keep it, they would just need to refinance it and either pay off the mortgage out of other assets or get a conventional mortgage that pays off the reverse, and then they would have to pay on that over time.
All right, sir. You've been most helpful.
Good. Yeah, stay on the line, and our team will get your information. We'll send you a book just as our gift to you called Understanding Reverse that I think will be a great read for you, and then we'll also get somebody in touch with you. So just stay right there, and we will get your information. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Paula. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Trying to keep it concise, recently my online savings account was compromised, and I found out they were trying to do a wire transfer out of it, but prior to that, they were doing just a transfer from my account to J.P. Morgan. And the only way I found out about it was I had had an email with a letter from my online savings account company, and they had done that $5,000 wire transfer five times already. I don't know how I can protect myself since I didn't get an alert about it just being a transfer. So now I'm having to go through, you know, the fraud dispute and trying to get my money back. So do you have any recommendations on being able to protect yourself with these online accounts?
Yeah.
I always have heard that they're safe, but...
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And it's not isolated, of course, to online banks, because any financial account, whether it's attached to a brick and mortar bank that just gives you an online access point like they all do these days, or it's purely an online bank where you're still accessing the account largely through a smartphone app or the internet, but they just don't happen to have brick and mortar locations, they all present the same challenges, which is just how do you protect yourself? And I think the key is, number one, following those best practices to, you know, make sure you have a long string password that you're updating probably, you know, if not more often, at least quarterly. Maybe use a password keeper that's going to generate the password for you so you have a different password for each account. That's a best practice. And then secondly, I think, you know, just talking to the company, making sure that they, you know, had good customer service and they're willing to, you know, identify these issues when they happen. You may even need to change your account number, although typically just changing the password will cover it. But, you know, are they quick to resolve these disputes and get your money back into the account? You know, are they big national or, you know, of institutions that have the all the latest and greatest safeguards and protections? Nobody's foolproof. The U.S. government, you know, the big, you know, credit reporting agencies, they've all been compromised. I mean, the biggest companies and governments in the world have had accounts compromised. So we're not going to stop that. The key is just, you know, are you doing everything you can do? And do you have a trusted partner in your financial institution that's going to work on your behalf in an expedient fashion? And, you know, get you made whole. Have you changed your, you know, information and passwords and so forth? And do you believe this has been kind of rectified, at least for the time being?
Yes, they did change my account number. I've changed my password. What is the password keeper that you're talking about?
Yeah, so
that...
there's several of them out there. I use one called 1Password, the number 1Password. There's another one called LastPass, LastPass. But essentially, it's an encrypted software application that you'd keep on your computer or your phone, and it stores all of your passwords. But what it will do is generate passwords for you. And some of these are built in now in your operating system, like Apple has these now in the Apple operating system. But essentially what it does is rather than you having the same password across all of your logins that can, once it's compromised, get out there on the dark web, and now, you know, it's more easy for people to access your accounts, it essentially would allow you to have a long string, unique password for every login. Well, you'd never want to type those in or try to memorize them. You couldn't. And that's where a password keeper comes in, because you're able at that point to, you know, just generate that password from that software package, and it's all encrypted. So you may want to check those out. But we appreciate your call today, Paula. I'm sorry you're having to go through this, but we'd love to be able to help you, and hopefully that advice has given you some things to go on. God bless you. Elaine in Georgia, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you today. That's my fault, but I'd love to get you on the program first tomorrow, and so I'm going to have either Devin or Autumn pick up the line and see if we can get you rescheduled for tomorrow. We would love to send you a gift just to say sorry for your inconvenience. I know we had planned to have you on today, and I apologize we didn't get to you, but hopefully we can get you back on tomorrow. Thanks for calling today, and just stay right there. Somebody will pick up that line. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Always good to have my friend Mark Biller with us, and so thankful for each of you listening and being a part of the program. Big thanks to my team today, Autumn on phones, Devin, my producer, Taylor providing great research today, and of course, Mark Biller from soundmindinvesting.org. This is a big month for us, just 10 days away from the end of our fiscal year. We've got a dollar-for-dollar match out there from a generous supporter. We're on our way to $50,000, which will round out our fiscal year. We've got $15,000 in the door, $35,000 to go. Every gift to FaithFi match at faithfi.com. Just click give. faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.